This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Talk radio that you control, 603-283-6160, and that's the number you can call to bring up whatever's on your mind, 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Matt,
and Nikki.
And I wanted to tell you about Dash. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There is no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. And since it is call-in talk radio show, I wanted to go straight into the phones. We have Major Payne on the line. Major Payne in Michigan, what's on your mind?
Hi, Bonnie. Well, I wanted to touch on a couple, three topics. One was the tobacco. Two was Biden's turnabout. And three was a whole nationwide infestation of bed bugs. So but let's start with the tobacco. Almost 15 years ago, I started rolling my own cigarettes because on the factory-made cigarettes, they started putting fire retardant. If you held it underneath the black light,
you could see
swirls of patterns on them. And I'm thinking that's about the same time they started spraying PFAS on McDonald's wrappers and all the other
food. What's that?
So it's like a forever PFAS chemical. It's in the non-stick cookware.
It's been proven to cause, every 10 years they come out with another 10 things that it causes, some, you know, different cancers and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. All sorts of stuff.
The Air Force just finally got off their lazy ass and started doing a cleanup down here in Oscoda, which is an air base that they had to sell probably 20 years ago because it was so bad. They pretty much gave it away to County Coletta Air. I mean, pennies on the dollar. But anyway, yeah, I started rolling my own because I knew that they don't put as many chemicals in the pipe tobaccos as they do the cigarette tobaccos. Hell, when people first started smoking tobacco in this country, the only additive they put on it was they'd spray it with some apple or some pear juice because tobacco is just too damn bitter to smoke by itself. It doesn't taste good if you just pick it off the plant and dry it and smoke it. Right?
I didn't know that.
Me either.
Yeah, well, the reason nothing else tastes like a Marlboro Red is because they put a little cocoa powder in it.
No. Are you serious?
I mean, Marlboro Reds are kind of disgusting, though. They're, like, super strong.
But anyway, when I roll my own, they cost me $1 a pack.
Yeah, that's about what I was, because I was, when I quit smoking, I was rolling my own at the time, too.
Isn't that, that's like the way every, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to quit, but maybe if I do rollies, I'll just smoke less. And then you like become like a machine rolling these cigarettes. It's like, huh, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah, I never did that. I was smoking Marlboro Menthols. I think they're called Marlboro Smooths, Marlboro Smooth Menthols, something like that. And I just needed them to taste like not really like a cigarette, just like burning gum or something.
Well, some people buy those little electronic machines. I knew one guy that had a hopper gizmo. He could dump a whole box of tubes in one side and a few claws full of tobacco in the other side, and it would spit you out a carton of smoke.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's hardcore.
But the guys that get these little handmade jobs, I mean, they'll sit around and they'll make 20, 30 cigarettes, whatever they need for their day's ration, and take them with them to work. I just got one of those little hand stuffers, and if I don't have time to sit down and make a smoke, well, I guess I don't get a smoke.
Yeah.
Because I don't have it right handy in my top pocket.
Yep, you're smoking right? A little less if you, you know, roll them by hand or with your little contraption where you just roll the contraption, right? I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because you got to basically, my buddies used to call it my purse. I'd take an old tube box, and I'd put a handful of tubes in one end, and my little stuffer thing in
That's
there.
Right.
And then a sandwich bag of tobacco, so
sure.
I always had to carry it on my little purse.
Yeah.
So they make fun of me for that, but, I mean, that only lasts so long. I can take a good dog for stupid things.
Yeah, that's pretty
But anyway, what Biden has done is deactivated 28 laws that he has enacted during his term here, and he's going to put another 20 miles of border wall along the Rio Grande.
Whoa.
And he says, all the funds are already appropriated. Well, you know who appropriated them? Trump. And they stuck them in a shoebox in the closet the whole damn time. And they took all the materials that he had purchased to build the wall and sold them for scrap at, you know, maybe 10 cents on the dollar. So, I mean, the right hand don't know what the left hand's doing.
The more interesting part about this to me is Biden isn't as pro-open border as people act like, and, you know, he isn't as different from Trump as people act like.
Well, Trump had a mind of his own. Biden is a tool. Biden is a fucking marionette.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Donald Trump has never walked in a circle holding his hand out waiting for somebody to shake it. Donald Trump walks up to people who want their hand shook and shakes that hand.
Exactly.
Joe Biden walks into the absolute blue sky and will shake somebody's hand that isn't standing there.
Oh, yeah, there was like a ghost he shook the hand of.
He's done that a lot. He's done
well, he is, you know, closer to the veil, as they say.
Yeah.
Nice way to say it. Only by a few years, though. Yeah, he just seems older.
When you deal with people for a living, you get to read them pretty quick. And Trump is one of those guys that can walk up and shake your hand and look you in the eye and get a pretty good clue who the hell you are right there.
If I looked directly
Biden,
in
I don't
Trump's
even
eyes,
look anybody in the eye.
I'd be so creeped out.
Yeah, Joe Biden has always creeped me out, always. I remember, like, even back in the 90s, seeing him on TV, and there was just something about that guy. He wasn't even famous yet. He was just a senator.
Hmm.
And, you know, hardly anybody knows who the senators are, you know, unless they're from your state. But I would see that guy on, like, the news talking to, you know, Congress or whatever, talking to the Senate, and I would just think, man, there's just something really off about it. He's got those squinty eyes, and he just...
Like the guy, he looks like the kid from Deliverance.
From Deliverance, he does. He looks just like the kid from Deliverance.
No, he's
the inbred banjo player
you're
talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of that going on.
I think so.
But even worse than that, if you look at his record, I'm pretty sure the first speech he gave, which made him win the election to become the youngest senator in history, supposedly, there was all kinds of plagiarism in that speech.
Not surprising.
He's done nothing but steal his whole life and try to make it a piece of his own.
I just feel like all these politicians probably do that, or at least have someone else write things for them, like their teams. That's not that surprising. But
well, there's nothing wrong with borrowing a good idea. But you can't just take somebody's idea verbatim and say, I said that.
That makes you look pretty stupid, yeah. Well, one thing I think is pretty more interesting about Joe Biden is our co-host, Mark Edge, has this theory that Joe Biden has had a vendetta against Ian Freeman, our other co-host, who's in jail now, for years. And the reason is that Joe Biden came to Keene, or it was in New Hampshire, but it was like right here on the border somewhere. And he said, hello, Vermont, for one thing, and that's like something about it.
But it's like Noah, the one that's upside down.
Yeah.
Close.
He did. He called
the other
Vermont.
One.
But Ian's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. He was on the border. He probably just, you know, was in a tour bus or something. I don't know. But anyways, so he came here and he gave a speech, and this was years ago, like 2008 or something like that. So, well, no, not even 2008, because he was just a senator. He wasn't the VP or anything yet. So earlier than that, like 2006. And Ian didn't know anything about him, but they went to go try to do some, like, ambush interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And after he gave his speech, oh, wait, it wasn't just, like, I think it was a Talkers magazine. No, it wasn't. Sorry, I'm mixing things up. Maybe it wasn't that time that he was in Keene that he said, hello, Vermont, because that happened. But also, he heard Joe Biden talk at a Talkers thing, so it wasn't in New Hampshire. So, whatever. Ian and Mark, they got to see Joe Biden speak way before he was vice president. And Ian didn't know who he was, just that he was a politician, and he spoke, and he, you know, it was a bunch of Republican talk show hosts mainly, so there wasn't even very much applause. But he stood at the door and was like, because of that, he went to the door to go shake everyone's hand on the way out and talk to everyone. Joe Biden did. And when Ian was leaving, Mark Edge swears to God, but Ian is like, I don't remember this, but I believe Mark, because Ian doesn't remember anything. Mark says that he was standing behind Ian and everybody was shaking Joe Biden's hand and kind of like pandering to him, even like, oh, I get to talk to this politician. But, when Ian got there, Mark swears to God that Ian put his hand out and then instead of making contact with Joe's hand, put his hand in his hair.
Like that diss thing.
Yes,
a
psych.
Yes,
yes, psych.
Psych.
That's what he, or, Mark
Edge. It doesn't even sound like something Ian would do.
That kind of makes it funnier.
It does, but I don't think Ian would do that.
I know, but
that would be great.
Mark
if he
Edge
did.
Would, like, swear to God, like, he would put money on it if that is true, that he's not confused and stuff like that. And, anyways, one thing that's interesting about what Joe Biden did most recently is, in the last 2 days, one day today, or yesterday, Joe Biden appointed Seth Aframe to become...
really?
Yes, Seth Aframe, the prosecutor in Ian's case, that just happened to be promoted and be an appellate judge.
Joe Biden did?
Aframe's going to be an appellate court judge?
Yes.
An appellate court judge?
Mm-hmm.
Seth Aframe, so he cannot obviously hear Ian's appeal.
That would not be...
huge conflict of interest.
Yeah, so that's not... But still,
but
he got a reward.
That's more proof that they're paying really close attention to this case at the top.
That is so strange, because to me, I'm like, because at first I was like, Bonnie, Joe Biden has no clue who Ian is. Like, he does not care.
Yeah.
But that is, but I would also say, okay, Joe Biden has no clue who Seth Aframe is. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I mean, he's just some random prosecutor from New Hampshire.
When I saw it, I immediately
sent
it
weird.
To Mark, and I just said, this is more evidence of your claim.
That is
claim.
Strange.
Well, you know what that is evidence of that it's very important to make note of for everybody who is into individual freedom, is that the people at the top are paying really close attention to crypto, and they're not saying anything about it because it scares the crap out of them, and there is not a whole lot they can do about it. Cryptocurrency might be the most important tool mankind has had against its oppressors ever. You can use it as a currency. You can use it to have contracts with. You can use it as a weapon that doesn't fire a shot and will take down Goliaths.
Yep. Hillary Clinton was quoted as saying that they're terrified of it, or that it's extremely dangerous to the United States. Something like that. I wish I could find the exact quote.
It is. And it's not just the United States. It's dangerous to all... It's dangerous to the banking empire.
Yeah.
Anything that's dangerous to the banking empire is dangerous to everything that the banking empire runs. The banking empire runs every government on Earth.
You had one other thing, Major Payne?
Yeah, as far as this judge getting appointed, I mean, if you dance like a good little circus dog, sooner or later they give you an extra biscuit.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
He got a biscuit because Joe Biden didn't get a handshake. I don't know.
Well, he's got a brain trust of 100 libtards around him, and they're not going to let much slip through the cracks. But I digress on all that. Yeah, evidently France has a nationwide infestation of bedbugs.
I thought about so Paris, at least.
They're so bad that people are finding them crawling on the subway and bus seats and whatnot. They don't even want to sit down on public transportation.
Terrifying.
But the bad thing about bed bugs is they're not like getting rid of the head lice or something that most people are used to or familiar with, at least. I mean, with head lice, you wash all the bedding and, you know, you treat all the kids' head and kick the dog out for a week or whatever. I don't think dogs can even get them.
No,
but they're relatively simple to get rid of. Now, to get rid of these damn bed bugs, you got to treat everything and everybody, and then you got to bring in like a big old house balloon and massive heaters. You got to heat the house up to, I think, between 150 and 180 degrees for like 2 to 4 days. To kill these damn things.
That or, you know,
but if you're living in a unit that has adjacent walls or floors to another unit that's not going to get treated,
you're going to get them again.
You're never going to get rid of these things.
Yeah, they're really bad. And I heard that in Paris, the mayor of Paris said no one is safe.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's really creepy.
I've never been infested with them. My daughter was once in a... Near as I can figure, you just get little bites all over you, and they're very annoying. I don't think they, you know, are like plague spreaders, like the fleas from the rats or whatever. But
yeah, the government hasn't figured out how to impregnate them.
How to weaponize
plagues.
Them?
They're working on it, man. Give them some time.
Don't give them no damn idea.
Yeah, I'm sure they had that idea long before you and I talked, my man.
Pretty sure they were doing that with ticks.
Probably, yeah.
There's a lot of conspiracy theory about Lyme disease being tracked back to ticks, being tracked back to like
some
Montauk
island.
Yeah,
I think
spotted Rocky Mountain fever too. I caught that down in Georgia, not far, very far from Paris Island, matter of fact.
Well, that's not good.
But I mean, bed bugs are slow and creepy. Ticks are like the paratroopers of the bug world.
Yeah,
they fly through the air. Yeah, I hate that. The other thing is Paris Fashion Week.
They don't fly through the air, Bonnie. They have like a cupped body, and they'll sit up in the woods.
I know they don't fly.
They'll sit up in the trees in the woods, but they got this kind of like X-ray vision where they can see a living thing from just a regular thing. And so when this orange or red unit comes walking underneath them, they just jump off the tree and land down and float on you.
Yeah, they float through the air, and that's disgusting.
Even if they miss, if you sit down in 8 or 10 feet, they'll come stalk you. I remember one time I was sitting on the porch, having sat down to roll a cigarette, like I explained to you earlier, and I look out in front of me about 6-8 feet, and there's this big old wood tick, and he's marching right at me like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nasty. The other bad thing about this bug bed situation is that a bunch of celebrities and models and things like that from New York City and Los Angeles, they're in Paris Fashion Week right now, or maybe last week.
Oh, so they're going to bring them back to New York.
Yeah, that's what I think. Thank you for the call, Major Payne. Usually it's kind of like one call, but his topics are pretty interesting, and he didn't bore me, so I let him talk about all three topics.
High five, Bon. Wait, and high five, Major Payne.
Yeah. So going on to our next topic we have here, this is from ZeroHedge.com, and I thought this was a pretty interesting story that came out today, just a couple hours ago. Iraq to fully de-dollarize cash transactions by year's end.
Wow.
And what does that mean? The Iraqi government will ban all cash withdrawals and transactions in U.S. dollars as of January 1st, 2024.
Does it say what they're switching to?
They probably will when we get into it, but I don't see it right here. It says, according to Mazen Ahmed, Director General of Investment and Remittances at the Iraqi Central Bank, the CBI, which is the Iraqi Central Bank official, says that people who deposit dollars into banks before the end of 2023 will still be able to withdraw these funds in dollars next year. However, dollars deposited in 2024 will only be available in local currency at the official rate of 1,320 dinars. Is that what they call it?
Dinars, yeah.
Dinars. So here's a quote from him. He says, you want to transfer? Transfer. You want a card in dollars? Here you go. You can use the card inside Iraq at the official rate Or if you want to withdraw cash, you can at the official rate in dinars. But don't talk to me about cash dollars anymore. That's kind of a weird way to speak for like some official.
Well, a lot of U.S. cash was just absolutely blasted into Iraq for decades because they were paying. There was a lot of hush money going into Iraq. There was a lot of. I mean, they found bunkers full of $100 bills to like billions of dollars of cash when they invaded Iraq the first time. People like, and they put it on the news as if it was, you know, look at what they've been hoarding over here. Well, no, they were burying it. They didn't know what to do with it. They had too much of it. Like Saddam Hussein was literally just burying the stuff. They're digging pits and filling them with $100 bills and putting sand over them and couldn't do anything with it.
What the heck?
Yeah. So it's no surprise to me that this central bank guy from Iraq is saying, I don't ever want to see another $100 bill as long as I live. I can imagine him saying that. It makes sense.
He also claimed the move is meant to, quote, stamp out the illicit use of about 50% of the $10 billion that Iraq imports in cash each year on semi-monthly cargo flights from the New York Federal Reserve. With more than, you can use cash to do illegal things. Did you know that? I thought Bitcoin.
No, I've heard that cash can also be used. Yeah, that's interesting. And he says illicit. And I wonder what he's alluding to there. And I wonder what his solution is there. How is the Iraqi dinar going to be any different?
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't they have cash in dinar?
Yeah, well, usually when they say things like, you know, those little buzzwords like illicit transactions. Oh, what's an illicit transaction? Sounds like somebody's getting ready to get their rights taken away a little bit more.
Says, with more than $100 billion in reserves held by U.S. banks, Baghdad heavily relies on the goodwill of U.S. officials to ensure the economy doesn't collapse. Furthermore, since 2003, all Iraqi oil revenues have been paid into an account with the U.S. Federal Reserve, allowing Washington to control the Iraqi economy and pressure its government.
How is that goodwill?
There's nothing goodwill about it. It's military sanction from beginning to end, and it's ownership. I mean, I don't. Something interesting that's happening now is this push toward electric cars, and we won't have the reliance on foreign oil anymore. Why are they still protecting Iraq so hard? Because the only thing we could think of before when all the stuff was going down in Iraq with the military action was that it was over oil. So why is it so important to still have such a hand? Why is the Federal Reserve, you know, controlling
Iraq? Is this saying that the Iraqi guy, he wants to get less power over Iraq from the U.S. government? He wants to lessen their power over them?
Sounds like he needs to get attacked again.
603-283-6160. You can call with whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Oklahoma Congressman Kevin Hearn is contemplating a run for Speaker of the House. With 35 years of private sector experience, he believes he possesses the necessary skills to unite and accomplish goals.
It's not something I came here in Washington, D.C. to do, but when you have people asking you about taking a different direction than what we've done historically in this Congress, and people have asked me about looking at alternate choice.
UAW President Sean Fain will update union members tomorrow on contract negotiations with Detroit's major automakers. He has previously called for walkouts and may extend them to additional locations. Progress has been reported in discussions with Stellantis and Ford, with Ford making a notable offer. Lotto excitement is growing. The Powerball rolling over. No one picked all six numbers last night, so it rolls over to $1.4 million Saturday night. Dave Collins, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the number. For you to call in with whatever is on your mind, you can talk about what we're talking about, bring up something new. It doesn't matter, it's up to you. It's Free Talk Live. And that number is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Matt.
And Nikki.
We're continuing on with this story. Matt, I just wanted you to clarify, at the end of the last segment, you said you think that Iraq needs to get bombed again or something like that. I don't think you meant you want them to, right?
Well, of course not. But that's what happens every time a country tries to walk away from the dollar. That's what used to happen, and I think the, you know, dollar hegemony happened here. Yeah, dollar hegemony, that's what happened here. That's
yeah,
right.
Literally, that's what happened here. I mean, oh, they didn't bomb us, but yeah. They, like, smashed in the windows.
Yeah, and for the people who are holding, you know, propping up the dollar, I'm sure that that will come to an end as soon as whoever controls the dollar, or the people who actually issue the dollars will, you know, make wars go away on that front as soon as they choose a new world reserve currency.
That's kind of why I chose this story and then thought it was interesting, because it just seems pretty brave, bold of the Iraqi central bank to decide, yeah, we're going to stop dealing with U.S. dollars, even if it's just cash for now. Seems like something that could get them bombed or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Get this specific guy killed or something.
It happened with Gaddafi, right? Gaddafi was... He was planning to start a North African gold-backed currency.
Oh, you can't do that.
No, that was a big no-no.
No, fiat only.
Yeah. Where was that? What country was that?
Libya.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it seems like it would definitely get the attention of the United States government. So it just makes me think that Iraq feels they're in a position now where they won't get harmed because of this, maybe because of BRICS.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems like for some reason, maybe it's just because we live in the U.S., but the United States military is touted as like, you know, this, you know, the best military in the world, right? But then if you kind of look at the, like, scorecard, when is the last time we've won a war? Like, World War II? And that was us just like, hey, you know, you guys are doing that thing over there. You know, that wasn't obviously, like, U.S. troops were over there, but that was mainly, like, France. And, you know, that was, like, the U.K. mainly.
Yeah, and everybody just kind of stopped because the U.S. dropped a couple of nukes. And everybody said, oh, we don't got that.
Yeah.
So we're just going to stop. We're going to stop schoolyard bullying each other now.
When is when's the last time after that?
They don't. I mean, they haven't, right?
The U.S. hasn't won a war
since
World War II.
Well, they're fighting both sides of every war, so they've won all of them.
I'm not certain that the point of... You got to remember how much money is at stake when people go to war.
Yeah,
like, there's
of course.
There's so much.
But I'm just saying,
these contractors, Halliburton, I mean, these giant, you know, the security companies, you know, Dyncor and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, of course. That's why there is war.
Money.
That's why war happens.
Keeping wars going is very profitable.
Exactly. But my thing is, how is the U.S. military like that? The U.S. is like this world superpower, but it's like, are they really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You know,
not anymore, at least. I don't think so. We can't even get people to join the military.
Irregulars, like average dudes with guns, have been beating the snot out of world-class militaries for centuries.
Yeah.
Look at the revolutionaries in the pre-U.S. America.
Because they really had something to fight for.
And they absolutely took on not only the British military, but there were also Germans here. And the French were helping out a little bit, only out of spite against the British, but only early on and not very much. And, you know, they were mostly sending, you know, advisors over, you know, Lafayette, Marquis de Lafayette and people like that. But the dirty work was being done by absolute schmoes. Total peasants.
Like farm
average
boys.
Average schmucks hiding behind a tree. You know, you watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson and he had a loaded musket hiding behind tons of trees. And he would just work the land and wipe out squads.
Mm-hmm.
And that still happens. And there are old-timey... There's dudes all over the world that keep a close track of where the nearest bat caves are because they know they can make powder out of that bat dung.
Yeah.
And they know how to do it. And they're a problem. They're a problem for the average foot soldier. You know, some idiot 18-year-old high school grad who just wants a Camaro out of the deal, he's going to go get his, you know, head blown off by some dude who means what he's doing. So,
yeah, maybe that's a good point. Maybe people aren't as afraid of the United States government anymore. Or
I mean, it might
military.
Be like, it seems like, you know, since Trump, you know, allegedly the word on the street is that we're a huge joke, right? And I don't think that reputation got better since Joe Biden. I mean, if you go and look at interviews of people, especially like European people, and they're like, oh, what do you think about, like, do your best impression of an American, or, you know, what do you think of Americans? They don't think very highly of us. You know, they'll probably say something about a cheeseburger, or, you know, use, like, some dumb, like, fake Southern accent, or, you know what?
They're dumb, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not, like... We're not really well-respected to the rest of the world, to be honest with you.
Well, they think there's gunfire on every corner 24 hours a day.
Because that's what the news says.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, not really, but...
I don't know if Iraq joined BRICS, though, because I know the I is India. But there were some, I think, a dozen countries that joined in with BRICS last month, and I don't remember any of them. Well, I remember Ethiopia for some reason. I don't remember if Iraq is one of them. But maybe just BRICS existing is making people think that the United States isn't, you know, the king anymore. That's just what I was wondering. But it says the move to get rid of all United States dollars in cash by January 2024, the move reportedly angered Iraqi officials, because this is coming from their central bank, who said they need access to their oil revenues to protect Oh, wait, I skipped something. So apparently on Thursday, the Wall Street Journal reported that U.S. officials last month refused to approve the transfer of an extra $1 billion in cash to Iraq from the country's oil sales proceeds. So U.S. officials were the ones that did it. And after the U.S. denied Iraq's initial appeal last month, the Central Bank of Iraq last week submitted a formal request in which the U.S. Treasury is still considering, and that was from a senior Iraqi official. And the move reportedly angered Iraqi officials. So it's the move of the United States to refuse to approve the transfer of an extra $1 billion in cash to Iraq. So the move reportedly angered Iraqi officials who said they need access to their oil revenues to protect Iraq's cash reserves after recent restrictions from the White House. After the recent restrictions set off panic buying of greenbacks and hoarding of dollars by exchanges. U.S. Treasury officials reportedly told Central Bank of Iraq officials that sending a large extra shipment is contrary to Washington's goal of reducing Iraq's use of U.S. banknotes in favor of more easily traceable electronic transactions.
Uh-huh.
So the U.S. is behind this. I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that. I did.
You did?
Yeah.
So apparently the U.S. Treasury wants them to do this because they want to be able to trace electronic transactions in Iraq, even?
Iraq should start using Monero.
Yeah.
So great. I looked it up, and it, Iraq is interested in joining BRICS, but I don't think, and I think all of those countries that like just joined it, maybe they're not like officially, but I don't know if it was one of the 24 countries.
Okay.
But yeah, this article is basically it's titled, "Ahead of Joining BRICS, Iraq Issues Ban on the U.S. Dollar Transactions." So it kind of like ties those two thoughts together, I guess.
Wow. Well, apparently the United States government is behind it, too. It's interesting to me why they need to trace. Well, maybe they're saying that the Iraqi government can trace the electronic transactions, but I'm sure the United States government cares about that because they want to trace it, too.
Mm-hmm.
With more than $100 billion in reserves held hostage by the U.S., Washington has significant leverage over the Iraqi economy and banking system. In July, the U.S. Treasury sanctioned 14 Iraqi private banks, accusing them of facilitating U.S. dollar transfers to Iran, a country whose economy Washington seeks to suffocate via sanctions, Iran. As a result of this, nearly a third of Iraq's 72 banks are now banned from facilitating dollar transactions. Wow. In 2022, Iraq's central bank enforced tight regulations under U.S. pressure to ensure dollars do not reach Iran. So it's Iraq, you know, they gotta, you know, the people of Iraq have to suffer, I guess. Bank clients wishing to transfer dollar funds must apply through an online platform and provide detailed information on end receipts. A recipient, sorry, before a transfer is approved.
I think this is just, I think that's a clue. That's another clue that how paranoid falling empires start to get.
Yep.
Like that, they just want to track and see and keep tabs on literally everything in sight. And it's not just us, it's other countries and, you know, things, anybody that they see is under their control, which would be the real takeaway from all this. There are people in positions of power in Washington and other places who consider other people to be under their control, and they're willing to do anything to keep them under their control.
Even if you don't live under the government that you think is there to
Doesn't
protect you,
matter.
It's a different one.
Correct.
Yeah, I definitely see that. The United States seems to be acting really strangely here. I mean, I've never heard them say we need to be able to track electronically the purchases your country is making to another country.
Right.
It ends with a quote that says, "This is the Iraqi MP and member of the Finance Committee in Iraq's Council of Representatives, Hussein Mouanz, told The Cradle in an exclusive interview in May." Iraq has been and continues to be a slave to the U.S. dollar. Every country's economic strength depends on the strength of its currency. It is clear that Iraq is economically dominated by the U.S., and our government does not truly control or have access to its own money. We believe that it is crucial to move away from the hegemony of the dollar, especially as it has become a tool to impose sanctions on countries. It is time for Iraq to rely on its local currency, he added. And it's pretty interesting when you hear, you know, Iraqi officials using terms that I only ever really hear libertarians using, like, you know, we need to move away from the United States hegemony,
yeah,
their dollar, their control over other countries. Yeah, that's the end of that story.
Wouldn't it be funny if they did start using, like, Dash?
Yeah, if they moved away
Monero
from the hegemony that
you
way.
It's something that they could use to have privacy with, you know.
I really had hope that India or Russia would do that during the beginning of the Ukraine war. Because they
very well may be on some level, but you're never going to know about it. One thing I would say, I mean, you would be able to tell by looking at the various blockchains that there's gigantic sums, because it costs huge amounts to run wars. I mean, if you saw a Bitcoin transaction of like $45 billion or something, like, okay, that's probably a government player moving. Maybe that is a war purchase right there.
Can you just see Monero transactions like that?
There is a blockchain, but you can't tell, like, you can't tell much by looking at it.
Even how much a transaction is?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, that's all from that. I thought that was pretty interesting. Moving on, we have more in the news here. I thought this was a really interesting story, too, from the Institute for Justice. So, kind of more like good news. The Institute for Justice does a really good job.
Yeah.
In all the things they do. Looking out for people who didn't actually get justice in their case. And they take on these cases for free. But this story is from the Institute for Justice, .org, IJ.org. Supreme Court signals interest in tackling government immunity. Retaliatory arrest and police immunity cases are getting a second look from the Supreme Court. So on Monday, the United States Supreme Court signaled it was taking a closer look at two of the Institute for Justice's cases involving rogue government officials violating constitutional rights of innocent Americans. By relisting the cases for consideration at its October 6th conference, the justices indicated that they are interested in issues involving immunity, accountability, and the enforceability of the First and Fourth Amendments. I'm a little confused because if that was October 6th, I don't know. Oh, they're going to consider them then, so. But this article came out on the 3rd. Out of more than 800 cases submitted and considered, the court only relisted 20, so two of those 20 are IJ cases. That's pretty interesting. The first case asks whether the First Amendment permits claims for retaliatory arrest when the government has fabricated probable cause for the arrest. Gonzalez versus Trevino involves a septuagenarian, a person in their 70s, a city councilwoman from Castle Hills, Texas, which is in the middle of San Antonio, and I used to drive by that every single night on the way to go home. The city of Castle Hills picture that Mrs. Gonzalez is in front of in this picture. It's weird because it's like its own little town, but it is in San Antonio. And like San Antonio police can arrest you there, but also they have their own police. I don't really know.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Like Boston has some of those.
It's just on
the highway.
Where
it's like, it's, you know, I'm trying to think of an example, but there are different,
like, enclaves.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, like it's Boston, but it's really this other place.
Yeah. What's really interesting is the Castle Hills cops can't pull you over. Maybe I'm getting confused about Castle Hills and Almost Park, but one time I had Almost Park cop chasing me in San Antonio, and once I got to, like, the end of this, like, road, she stopped.
Yeah, they don't have jurisdiction.
But she wasn't chasing me with her lights on. She was being weird. She was, like, chasing me and flashing a flashlight at me and my friend. It was so weird. But,
so what's happening here?
Sorry, yeah. I just wanted to say that I know where Castle Hills is, and I used to live there. That's all. But the first case, it's asking whether the First Amendment permits claims for a retaliatory arrest when the government has fabricated probable cause for the arrest. Gonzalez versus Trevino involves a septuagenarian city councilwoman from Castle Hills, Texas, Sylvia Gonzalez, who was thrown in jail for petitioning her government to remove the city manager, a political ally of the mayor and police chief. The mayor and police chief spent 2 months concocting bogus criminal charges against Sylvia to punish her for her speech. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, over dissents by prominent conservative judges, granted qualified immunity to the officials, though it expressed regret at having to do so. The case is strikingly similar to what happened in Marion County when a police chief ordered a raid of the town's newspaper, and that's what we just... that's not the same one. Never mind. I was thinking it was the one in Kansas, but no.
This happens a lot.
Apparently it just happens a lot. I guess Marion County is in Texas. Quote, over-criminalization in this country is allowing bad government actors to silence their critics by putting them in jail or raiding their homes. Qualified immunity allows these bad actors to get away with it, even though there is plenty of evidence that had it not been for speech, the arrest and the raid would not have happened. The woman's speech about, her opinion that they should get rid of the city manager. Said Anya Bidwell, an attorney with IJ. Probable cause should not allow the laundering of First Amendment violations. In the second case, the question is whether police who violate the Constitution are immune just because the government itself cannot be sued under state law. In King versus Brownback, plainclothes task force officers brutally beat an innocent college student, James King, after mistaking him for someone else. IJ is asking the Supreme Court to hear this police brutality case for the second time. IJ is asking the court to consider whether the failure of tort claims against the federal government cancel out constitutional claims against individual government employees. Not sure what that means, but anytime the cops can get held accountable for beating someone, sounds good. The Supreme Court gave...
But who do you sue?
I don't know.
Is there criminal charges? Who's going to arrest the cops and who's going to sue the... How is that all going to work out? I mean, qualified immunity is qualified immunity, and if that's going away, that's a good thing. I mean, I hope that means that you can sue a cop.
That would be great. It doesn't really say it says claims against the federal government. I don't know, because it didn't even say if these were federal cops. It just said plain clothes task force officers. So, well... going on.
And if they're undercover, how do you tell who they are so you can sue them?
Hopefully they have to say in the court case. I don't know.
This would be an interesting one to watch.
Another quote from a different senior attorney at IJ, Patrick J. Como. The Supreme Court gave the Sixth Circuit a chance to answer this extremely important accountability question, but the Sixth Circuit instead said, thanks, but no thanks. Explained Patrick J. Como. It is clear that without the Supreme Court's involvement, this ahistorical and atextual practice will continue, providing government officials with yet another tool in their already overstuffed immunity toolkit that denies Americans the protection of their Constitution. It's crazy. It's crazy that cops can beat someone up who is innocent, as they say, and just you can't do anything about it. That's crazy. The Supreme Court will take another look at both of these cases during the conference this Friday. So I don't know if that means that they have to put something out about it immediately that Friday, but it's pretty interesting. It sounds actually related in a bit, to the newspaper story that Nikki,
yeah,
Riley and I, and also Ian on another day, talked about, because the woman, Miss Sylvia Gonzalez in Castle Hills, Texas, she... did something that pissed off the chief of police in her town, and then they got a search warrant and raided her house.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
And I'm sure that happens all the time, too.
Right.
You know?
And it's
it was pretty dramatic in the other case because the woman died.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, a woman that was the relative of...
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't kill her.
It was her house. They didn't directly kill her, but she was in her 90s, I believe.
Oh, mm-hmm. So she had a heart attack from stress.
Well, the next day, she passed away. But this lady was, you know,
so
she
upset.
Was, well, but she was, like, standing her ground.
Yeah, she's like, don't go in there. Yeah.
Yeah, the cops were, like, you know, going through her stuff, and she was like, what are you doing? You don't have the right to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of just commented on it. Like, it pissed me off because I come from like respecting your elders, you know, unless whatever, like obviously that's
yeah,
not,
the
like,
cops are like, ma'am, we're doing our job, stand back, like
yeah,
in your own
like,
house. It was
they were
so
acting
annoying.
Like she was crazy, and yeah. It's like, have some decency, have some respect.
They're
you
gross.
Broke into her house and you're rummaging through her like personal belongings.
Yeah. Cops beat their wives at a rate of higher than 40%.
Yeah.
So that's,
and they murder old ladies.
And if you're talking about them giving respect to people, it ain't gonna happen. They're just like, you know, the prisons are full of people who are just merely drug addicts. But the absolute psychopaths who belong in prisons, the actual criminals, are smart enough to put on a badge
and,
for a living.
You know what? And I think that is, not to get like super off topic, but I think that's a huge reason why there isn't as much justice for things like rape and domestic violence.
For sure. They're all rapists
because,
and domestic violencers.
Exactly. So, like, you'll see a lot, like, on, like, not dash cam, but, like, on body cam footage, when they're interviewing, you know, couples that are fighting or whatever in these domestic violence cases, you can tell they're like, oh, yeah, this chick's kind of just crazy. And obviously, like, yeah. An abusive guy is going to be, like, so easily manipulate the situation.
Yeah.
And if, like, the guys are already in the, you know, in that same headspace where they're like, oh, yeah, I totally abuse and manipulate my wife all the time. And I smack her around, too. And it's like, you know, just stay in line. If they're already coming from that mindset, of course they're just going to, you know, like, I'm thinking of the Gabby... that YouTuber that was like doing van life for their boyfriend.
Yeah, she got
there killed. There was a traffic stop. And the cops kind of did a good job in that case because they separated them. But the guy was super manipulative and he totally made it seem like she was just like some, you know, some crazy girl and whatever. Couple weeks later, he murders her.
Yeah. My cousin
okay,
in
you know.
Alabama, which is a police state, she called the cops because she was trapped in her bathroom, locked in her bathroom. Her boyfriend was trying to get in there and hurt her. And when the cops came, they arrested her. And
yeah.
Whenever she was in the cop car with them, the cop looked in his mirror and said to her, he just didn't want you to leave.
Yep.
Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.